Welcome to another audio message from myself, John Ferguson, minister at Peter Cooter Parish Church. And I'd like to begin today with a reading from Psalm 80. It's from part of Psalm 80, from verse 8. And we read that the psalmist says, "You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your right hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved." Amen. At the moment, there is a lot of concern about the possible annexation of large areas of Palestinian territory by Israel. And it's a very important issue because it's thought that if this annexation goes ahead, it could well mean that any hope of a two-state solution to the Middle East crisis will really disappear for good. It's an issue, of course, that is not new, and it's one which has been concerning the international community, not just for years, not even decades, but really for centuries. There are many people who have very strong views about this issue. And it's one in which people's whole lives, whole livelihoods are threatened. We heard today from the psalmist about the vine that was brought out of Egypt. And the image here is one in which Israel is like the vine. Israel is the vine that the psalmist tenderly plants in the promised land. Israel is the vine that God lovingly takes out of Egypt. The psalmist is looking back to Moses' delivery of the Hebrew people from captivity in Egypt. And Israel is the vine that grows lush and large, spreading to the Mediterranean and east to the Euphrates River. We also find many other references to the vine in the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob. I planted you as a choice vine from the purest stock." The prophet Isaiah has a long section in chapter 5 of his book where he uses a vineyard as a symbol of the house of Israel. It's called the Song of the Vineyard, and it begins, "I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside." But in each case, in every situation in the Old Testament here, something goes wrong. In Psalm 80, foreigners ravage God's vineyard and wild beasts uproot it. And the psalmist is questioning God, asking, "Why have you broken down the walls of the vineyard so that all who pass by pick its grapes?" The vineyard song of Psalm 80 is a sad song that laments the sorry state of the vineyard, Israel, and longs for it to be restored to its former fruitfulness. In Isaiah, the vine that should have produced good grapes bore wild grapes instead. We read, "When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad?" In Jeremiah, the prophet asks the people, "How then did you turn degenerate and become a wild vine?" Failed vineyards represent the failures of the people to do God's will. Vineyards are still a major issue today because it's Palestinian vineyards that are threatened by Israeli annexation. It's Palestinian livelihoods that are under threat at this time. In the New Testament, Jesus tells his followers, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Jesus is the one who supersedes all previous plantings which had become wild and so no longer true to God. And it's really Jesus showing here that the Judaism of his day was no longer being true to its core beliefs. He's making the bold claim that he now represents the people of God as the one true vine. The last verse in chapter 14 of John's Gospel tells us that Jesus and the disciples are about to leave the upper room. And they're about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be arrested by the mob led by Judas. It's at this point, maybe when he was travelling to the garden, that Jesus says the words about the vine. And those hearing him use the analogy would have understood what he was saying, and many would have been shocked at his audacity. But it wasn't the first time that Jesus had made this point. The very first miracle, the first sign of changing water into wine, demonstrated that the old Jewish ways symbolised by the water were now to be superseded by the new wine of Christ. So in this new vine of Jesus, we have God's new beginning. A new beginning in which God's people are destined to bear much fruit through the branches that take their life from the core of the vine that must be pruned to remain fruitful. And this symbol of the vine and its fruit and the wine that comes from that fruit are bound up in the church's understanding of God. The healthy vine is the vine that has the sap coursing through it because it's firmly rooted in its base, nourished with nutrients. And Jesus is telling us here that we too must be firmly rooted in our faith and in the world. And the branches of the vine are always reaching towards the sun, reaching out towards the source of light. So Jesus is saying that we too should be reaching out towards God in our worship, in our reaching out to others, in our daily encounters, in whatever we do or fail to do, to the least of our brothers or sisters in Christ, we do or fail to do to Christ. Jesus says, "I am the true vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit." Jesus is superseding the old ways. He offers us a new way. So may this image which Jesus gives us lead us to deepen our relationship with him and with the wider church and with each other as we seek to live as healthy branches of the true vine. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus Christ is indeed the true vine. And we pray that as his people we might seek to be fruitful. We pray that in your church, especially in this challenging time, we might still reach out to others in need and demonstrate Christian love, understanding, humility, patience, and a deep compassion for all those less fortunate than ourselves. Lord God, we praise you for Jesus Christ, the true vine. Hear us now, God, as we pray for those who are in need in our world. And we remember at this time the situation in the Middle East. We pray for those caught up in this conflict, those who have suffered on both sides over many, many years. We pray for peace, Lord, and we pray that governments may not take actions that might make such peace impossible. Father God, we pray at this time for all those who are experiencing anxiety and worry about the future. We pray for those who have lost their jobs and now cannot find work under the present situation. We pray for those who are homeless, living on the edge. We pray for those who struggle every day just to get by. Lord, we give thanks that the coronavirus situation in Scotland is improving, but we're always aware, God, that things can change quickly. And Lord, we continue to pray for those suffering from the virus, those who have lost loved ones. And we think especially of nations in our world where the virus is almost out of control and where so many people are affected. Lord, hear these our prayers, we pray. Father God, help us to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly, day by day. In the name of Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen. Well, this is the final audio message for a month or so. I'm going to be having a break from it, but look forward to being back again in August. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.